heart, I will sing as David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will sing as David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing as David sang. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing as David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will clap as David claps. Like when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will clap like David clapped. I will clap, I will clap, I will clap like David clapped. I will clap, I will clap, I will clap like David clapped. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will praise like David praised. When the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my heart, I will praise like David praised. I will praise, I will praise, I will praise like David praised. I will praise, I will praise, I will praise like David.
The love of Jesus.
Amen.
I was reading this morning in devotion about the crucifixion and all the things that they did to Jesus, as if all that they did wasn't enough. You remember just before he died how they ridiculed him and mocked him, as if the suffering that a man had gone through, what kind of people would do that? And Max Lucado, who wrote the article, said, you know, the love of Jesus may be shown more in what he did not do or say to those who mocked him than in the suffering that he endured. It was a real challenge to know that in the midst of all that, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the love of Jesus that compels us to worship, to love one another, to be with one another, is why we're here today. Father, we thank you for the great and the manifest love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Love beyond comparison, love beyond comprehension. Father, help us to receive the love that was given to us and that is daily given to us freely, but at the cost of his life. And as recipients of that love, Father, may we be quick to show it to others, to leave all of the wrongs in the hands of the one who will judge and take care of all things, and to be as our song said, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, we can love as Jesus loved. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
passed by, my Jesus in the sky.
To go home?
Amen.
And I mean our heavenly home.
Rock?
Yeah.
Talk.
Okay. Yeah, we'll wait. Step on your mic.
Jesus, come.
God, we wait. You're coming soon. God, we wait. We wait for you. God, we wait. You're coming soon. God, we wait. We wait.
Roger, could we get the other hand held? Okay.
As long as this church has a pastor who's technologically challenged, I think you all will have to bear the consequences of that, and I do apologize. Well, it feels strange to be kind of back in the groove. I began to feel a little bit back to normal about the middle of this past week. And I am certainly grateful for all the folks who have stepped up and carried on the work of ministry while I've been out of commission. And that's so important that we have opportunity to exercise those gifts and not depend on everything to revolve around one person. I want to do better at making sure those kinds of things continue. I also want to share some announcements with you this morning, bring you up to date a little bit on the building project. As you can tell, maybe not a lot has changed since what you saw last Sunday, but all of the electrical wiring rough in has been done this past week. And to say how great it was to see that offering last Sunday of $5,000.86. And we praise the Lord for that. And because of your generosity, we are at the point where we are right now without having to make a draw on our loan. We've not used a penny of borrowed money to this point. We're so excited about that. And actually have about as near as I can calculate, and I will get with our treasurer to confirm all of this, but with all bills paid to date, we still have about $7,000 in the building fund, and we're at this point. So that's really, really good news, and we're happy about that. And while we're talking about the addition, we had a gracious invitation from Mike and Paula to host the Sunrise service again this year, but I hadn't communicated with them that it was kind of in my heart to gather out here in this new addition.
and have our sunrise service and then breakfast in the great room following that. So if you will join me in anticipation of what this new facility is going to provide for us, we'll kind of have a initial dedicatory service by sunrise service. It may be cold, but we'll be dry. And if it's too cold, we'll stay in the great room. But we'll plan on April 21st, which is 2 weeks from today, sunrise service celebrated in the new addition here at the church. Bring a breakfast dish to be shared after the sunrise service. Speaking of Holy Week and Easter, Holy Week services at Harrodsburg Baptist Church the week of April 15th through the 19th. We will be leading worship on Thursday, the 18th, and on that day, our church would be responsible for providing 50 sandwiches and 50 desserts for the luncheon that follows the Holy Week service. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, Ruth's planning an Easter egg hunt and party for the children. That'll be at 3:30 next Sunday afternoon. And elders and deacons meeting at 5 p.m. And I'll remind us again, we'll probably meet in this building since they'll be having a party. So we'll change our venue to over here for our meeting next Sunday. This coming Wednesday, Vance Smith will be finishing the study he's been leading in 1 Peter. I was able to be there last Wednesday night, and it was a great discussion, great time of fellowship and studying the Word. Following that, beginning on April 17th, I'll come back and conclude the study on Revelation. We probably have about 4 weeks to finish our study on the book of Revelation. I want to bring you up to date on all those things. I do want to share a little bit about Go Blue for Kids. Talk about that in just a moment. But are there other announcements that need to be made? Since I've been out of the picture for a while, maybe there are some others that we need to call attention to.
I've got a couple things I want to share. Some of you have been asking about Mom. She had a nuclear stress test the other day, which indicated she needed a CAT scan. And I mean, not a CAT scan, I'm sorry. Heart cath. I'm still groggy from losing my sleep. So they did the heart cath and found she had a couple stents put in 16 years ago, and one of the stents was 80% blocked. So they took that out and put that in. Problem is they went in through her wrist, which I didn't know they did that. I thought they always went in through the groin, and she bled under the skin a lot, and so her arm's purple, and it keeps creeping up. It's not bleeding now, but it's just diffusing. So that's the prayer request for her. She feels great, and she's going to feel really good once she gets over, you know, the procedure, because she's going to have a whole lot more blood coming to her head. And so she wanted me to tell you, thank you so much for your prayers. It just, you know, she knew they were going up for her. And also, while I was in the hospital, I got to see George and Brenda Morris. And one thing is, please don't send any more food down. Some of y'all are bringing food, and Brenda's kind of on a liquid diet right now. And George likes cooking for himself, so we'll try to coordinate, you know, maybe a night that we could take, you know, someone could take something down for George. But there's probably other ways that love could be shown to them, and, you know, coming alongside, and we'll try to get someone to coordinate that. Brenda had a reaction to her chemo and was hospitalized, and when I left yesterday, she thought that they might be there another night. So just continue to pray for them. And you guys that are, and girls that are married or have, you know, have someone that's gone through a sickness, you know it's really hard on you watching it because you're helpless to do anything. And so, you know, not just pray for Brenda, but pray for George, okay?
I would like to talk just a minute about our party for next Sunday. If you have neighbors that need a little extra attention, you can invite them to our Easter egg hunt and party. And I need, if you have any board games that, you know, medium age, we don't need, you know, we're not going to be there forever, so we don't need trivia games. But if you've got any just laying around the house you haven't used for a while, give me a call. I'd appreciate it.
Thank you. This morning, Brother Jeremiah Melosa from South Africa is with us. Most of us, we look back, we've known Jeremiah for 20-plus years probably. Yes, and he and I were talking. It's actually been 14 years ago that we went to South Africa on a mission trip. It's hard to believe, in 2005. And we were blessed to be hosted by him and the folks of the Zulu Nation there in South Africa. Jeremiah has a lot of ministry, especially to children and to orphans. And he will be sharing some of that with us today. And it's kind of fitting that his ministry ties in with this thing that we're observing in the month of April called Go Blue for Kids. I want to tell you, some of the folks said, I didn't get the memo. I didn't get the memo that today we were to wear blue. Now, some folks wore blue on purpose. Some of you wore blue accidentally and didn't even know, and thank you for being there. A lot of guys who didn't wear blue were wearing blue jeans, and that counts. But why this emphasis? I can just tell you, I was asked about this by the director of the family services at the Bergen School, Sharon Perkins. And she had asked if I would promote this with our ministerial association and get churches to focus on child abuse and what a problem it is. And so several of the churches in the ministerial association had agreed that we would observe April 7th as Go Blue. The big day for Mercer County is actually a Monday, April 22nd, to Go Blue, and there are activities at the extension office. I'll post this information. My wife, who does all the research, tells me that the national Sunday for Go Blue is April 28th, the Sunday after Easter. So for all of you who forgot, we're going to have another Go Blue Sunday. We'll begin April and close April with an awareness of child abuse. I did not bring with me all the statistics that have been provided through the schools of the number of cases of child abuse and neglect in Mercer County. It's in the neighborhood of 150 or more that I know, that I saw in that report. The schools are keenly aware of it. And so I thought Jeremiah will be talking to us about children in South Africa who are orphans, much of it in South Africa due to the horrible AIDS epidemic. But in our culture, child abuse is such a horrible thing to think about. And I thought I would spin off that for just a moment to ask us to think about the family and its importance. We know that the family was the very first divine institution that God ordained. Before he formed a nation, before he built a church and birthed it, his emphasis was upon families. The Bible reminds us of so many principles of the value of family. Wouldn't it be wonderful if families were intact? All of us, in some way or another, are aware of the terrible consequences of children who are not blessed to have a mom and a dad and a family that is quite somewhat normal. There are no perfect families. We all deal with the issues, but family is such an important part of God's plan. If we had more homes where mom and dad were both there, or in the situations where there is need for a single parent, if that single parent had the love and support of a church family, because God provides a family for those who are without family. He himself is a father to the fatherless, husband to the widow. And we are urged to care for the family. James says, pure and undefiled religion is to visit the widows and the orphans and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. God has a heart for the most innocent and the most vulnerable. And so I thought this morning, as I looked at a little thing in my Bible that talks about the Christian family, that it would be good for us to just reinforce our awareness of how important the family is and be aware of what we can do to acknowledge and be a help in preventing child abuse, which is neglect sometimes, verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, all of these horrible abuses. Now, I'm going to interject here that a good little paddling on the bottom is not abuse. But abuse is ugly, and we see cases of it. Hope told me this morning she saw in the news where somewhere in Kentucky, a father put a child in the washer and then set the house on fire. Horrible examples and on down of things that just break our hearts. To see the sad eyes of a child who's verbally abused and made to feel worthless, or who bears the scars of beating. So how important is the family? Well, the family is the oldest and most basic of human institutions. In both the Israelite culture of the Old Testament and the Hellenistic culture of the New Testament, the household might consist of parents and children, relatives from several generations, servants, and even friends, depending on the economic resources of the head of the family. The Bible stresses its importance as a spiritual unit and a training ground for mature adult character. The Bible pictures a clear authority structure within the family, whereby the husband is to lead the wife and the parents are to lead the children. But just as all leadership should be a form of ministry rather than tyranny, so these domestic leadership roles must be fulfilled in love. The fourth commandment requires the head of the household to lead his whole family in Sabbath observance. The fifth requires children to respect and to submit to their parents. Jesus himself set an example in this as a child. Remember, he went down to Nazareth and was in submission to his mother and his father. Later, he fiercely opposed supposed gestures of piety that were really evasions of responsibility toward the parents. And his own last act before death was to provide for his mother's future. Behold thy mother, he said to John, and to his mother, behold thy son. The family is to be a community of teaching and learning about God and godliness. Children must be instructed, encouraged to use that institution as a basis for their lives. Discipline should be used as a means of corrective training to lead children beyond childish folly to self-controlled wisdom. Just as there is purposeful, loving discipline in God's family, so there must be in the human family. The family is meant to function as a spiritual unit. The Old Testament Passover was a family observance. Joshua set an example when he said, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Households became the units of Christian commitment in New Testament times. The fitness of candidates for church office was assessed by observing whether they had led their own family well. Building strong family life is always a priority in serving God. So may I use these moments that I took this morning to encourage us to be strong in our commitment to our family and be aware of ways that we could minister to those who do not have the benefit of a loving and a caring family. Father, on this Sunday where we've chosen to observe simply Go Blue for Kids, may the color blue, may any particular thing that strikes our attention and makes us aware of how important the family is in your eyes, may we as your servants be those who encourage and contribute to strong family life. May we minister to our own families. May we do so with a spirit of humility and servanthood. May we love and train and help to encourage strong families where the love of God and the principles of life are exemplified and learned. May we be agents of help to those who are orphaned, to those who are lonely, to those who are abused, to those who need love and encouragement in any way that we can be a part of that. Father, help us to do so. And we pray for families in our culture and in our churches in the name of Jesus. Amen. As I said, we will be observing different opportunities for awareness of child abuse prevention during the month of April. We are glad to have Brother Jeremiah with us today. After a little time of worship, he will be bringing the message. And as is our tradition, when we have a guest, we have beside the little tithe and offering box a basket for free will love offerings for our guests. And we do want to encourage you to be generous to the ministry that Brother Jeremiah is involved in, and we will mention that again. But you know, you all have always been so good and so gracious to give without being coerced, without being manipulated. I think somebody told me recently, visited here 3 weeks, and finally had to ask somebody, how do you give money to this church? Well, there's a refurbished, repurposed cigar box back there that's called our tithe and offering box, and it served us well. And usually we have found that what God ordains, God provides, and he sustains, and we're thankful for that. So the Lord lead you in your giving today, as we trust he always will. We had, I believe, one birthday in the church family coming up actually today. Josh and Leanne's daughter Gracie Cromer is celebrating a birthday today. And have I forgotten anything? I mean, I apologize, but when I haven't had a microphone and been in front of you all or with you for about 3 weeks, it's bad. Yeah. But it's so good. It's just so good. I feel like I'm kind of back where I belong and in the routine. And it's so good to see Sue Ann Walker, our dear, dear sister who's been in Louisville. She's back visiting today. Sue Ann, it's so good to see you. And, of course, all these things are going through my mind. Dana, when's Dennis going to feel well enough? I know he's still suffering. He's having a rough time recovering from his surgery, and we just continue to pray for Dennis Worthing because we miss seeing him. It's so good to see Dana and Ms. Worthington here as well. So it's good to see everybody. We'll dismiss the children to Children's Church in Rock. I think that's covered everything. Don't forget to pray for folks that need your prayers. Have y'all seen any of those YouTubes about church baptisms? Of course, my favorite is still the kid who didn't walk in. He dove into the baptistry. But Colleen shared one with me about when the pastor baptized the little girl. She came up out of the water, and he said, "And now where will you be going?" And she said, "Disney World."
Stand with me as we sing, please.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, thy Father. There is no shadow turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions.
Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great, how great is our God. Then sings my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.